Welcome to My Orgasmic Life podcast, a show that where we talk about sex, love, relationships, and kink. And of course, my favorite part, I share with you my very graphic, very juicy, and always entertaining orgasmic life. I'm Gaia Morissette, your hostess, and your holistic sexual wellness specialist, your trauma healer, your BDSM expert, and of course, your pro dominatrix. The show was inspired to inspire you to support your orgasmic living. Remember, always check the content warning before you listen and make sure you're listening where no one else can hear it, because you never, ever know what I'm going to say, because I always come with an explicit graphic content warning. Now, strap in and enjoy the show. Good morning and afternoon or evening, whenever you're listening or hearing or watching me. Okay, so first things first. One, I want to remind everybody that if you really want to be able to engage with me or interact with me or ask me questions or comment about an episode, the best way to do that is come join me on Loyal Fans, so that when I go live, like I'm live streaming as well, I'm recording this, that you could then actually engage with me while I'm recording the episode, which is very exciting. Plus, you'll also get the episode long, you know, weeks and weeks and weeks before the rest of the world will. Okay. And that way you'll get the content that you want. So today's topic is about orgasms. Right? So, you know, my podcast is called About My Orgasmic Life. And over, you know, I think I'm at like 200 or 370 episodes or some crazy number like that. And over that time, I've talked about the good, the bad, the ugly, the slutty, the complicated, the healing, all the things that allow me to be multiply orgasmic and serially orgasmic and to have a life that's filled with orgasms. Delicious. But it's been a while since I've talked about how does one become multiply orgasmic? How does one become an orgasmic being? And, you know, I was having a conversation. So this is why we're having this conversation today. I mean, early on in my orgasmic life, I taught, you know, there'll be episodes about how to have orgasms and how to help other people have orgasms. And so, you know, go scroll through the calendar, the library and find some of those episodes that will be very powerful. But today, what was inspired by this conversation was I was having a conversation with Mistress Dana, my bestie, my dungeon mate. And we were talking about, you know, so right now she's having lots of fun and, you know, she's doing a lot of wonderful exploration in her life and she's very, very orgasmic. And we were talking about, you know, how both of us are like this rare, we're like unicorns being so orgasmic. And, you know, we were talking about, well, why is it so rare? Like, why is it so rare to have somebody be that orgasmic? And so that conversation inspired me to be like, oh, this, you know, it's time to have a conversation with my audience, to like kind of reinforce how does one become that way. So first of all, we need to talk about what is an orgasm before we can continue having this conversation. So an orgasm is a release in your body when you have enough pleasure to the point where your body, it's like a happy byproduct. An orgasm should be and is when you become orgasmic. It's like a happy byproduct of intense amounts of pleasure. And there's different kinds of pleasure. There's sensory pleasure, there's emotional pleasure, there's a combination of sensory and emotional pleasure. And if you have enough of it and you build enough of it, then your body is like, oh my God, now I need to go have an orgasmic release. And that orgasmic release can be anywhere from this little, like, whoo, kind of like up the spine, tingly, or you feel tingly, or it can be a full-on genital orgasmic release. So there's different layers of that. There's different levels of that orgasmic release. And so often when people think of orgasms, they think very, very genital focused. There needs to be an ejaculation involved. If you have a penis, there, if you're, you know, have a vagina, it's again, it's all in, you know, clitoral throbbing experience. And those are all great. And those are all orgasmic release experiences. But there's also the subtle, more like, okay, so like right now, if you're not watching me and you're, you know, just listening, you can, you know, I'm tickling my neck right now. And this feels really nice. This is like that sensory pleasure piece. It's like, oh, this feels really, really nice. Now I can keep it at this level, or I can give myself permission, and we're going to talk about this in a second. I can give myself permission to be like, oh, wait, this is a safe space to have an orgasmic release. So what happens is I didn't change, I haven't changed. Oh, fuck. I haven't changed the sensations. I haven't changed the pressure. I haven't changed anything. The only thing I've changed is that my brain says, oh, right, now we can be orgasmic and now we can release. Oh, whew. And I had just a big one right there, just like tingled it. So it went, it was like, it went from my neck to my ears, out top of my head. I got a shiver down my spine and my vagina went pop my clit throbbed a little bit. My And like that, I had a little baby orgasm. That's what I call them. I call them little baby orgasms. Now, why did that happen? Like, how did that happen? Is like, am I faking it? I'm not faking it. I've been training my body for years and years and years to be that orgasmic because orgasm is about. The biggest thing about orgasms, actually, there's a bunch of things about orgasms. One, surrender. Let go. Like, don't control it. Don't make it happen. Allow it to build and build and build. And then it's like, whoo, and then it needs to release. The other thing about orgasm is that your mindset needs to be, I'm not controlling what it is. I'm not saying I am not controlling the narrative. I'm not controlling that, okay, well, I can only have an orgasm in this way, and that orgasm can only feel like this. And so most people, so I need to, before I go into this, actually, the next thing I want to talk about the two definitions of being multiply orgasmic and being serially orgasmic. Most people think that serial orgasm is multiple orgasm. So multiple orgasm technically is where you have two different spots on your body having an orgasmic release at the same time. That's technically what a multiple orgasm is. A serial orgasm is not one with Kellogg's. A serial orgasm is where you have one after another, after another, after another, after another, after another, after another, after another. Okay. That's what serial orgasm is. Okay. So let's go back to what I was talking about. To be able to be either multiply orgasmic, serially orgasmic, or just be have an orgasm, you need to change up your orgasmic patterning. And that orgasmic patterning is something that you, the very first time you had experienced a typically a genital orgasm, you thought, and you arched your back, you squeezed your legs, you thought about the thing, you squeezed your face in a certain way, you curled your toes, and then you had an orgasm. And you're like, whoa, like as when you're young. And then you're like, ooh. And then you did it again. And you did it exactly the same way. And then you did it again. And you did it exactly the same way. Each time you had an orgasmic experience like that, you created a pattern. And that pattern creates this like really confined possibility of orgasmic expression. So the first thing to do when you want to change up and become multiply orgasmic or serially orgasmic, if you aren't naturally already, because your orgasmic pattern has prevented that or created that, is you got to change your orgasmic patterning. And that is real hard and not really complicated, but it's a challenge, and you have to be really dedicated to changing that. Because there's nothing worse when you change your pattern and then you can't ha reach that orgasm, right? And you're like, oh, I'm so frustrated. So changing that pattern is the gateway to being able to have more multiple experiences. Okay. So how do you change that pattern? I have a whole course, online course on 30 days to an epic orgasm, and it teaches you how to be orgasmic, how to be multiply orgasmic, how to have serial orgasms, how to change your mindset, like we're talking about. It teaches you all the ins and outs of how to go about doing that. Okay. Today, that's not what I don't want to talk about how to go about doing that. What I want to talk about is the biggest blockage that prevents the average person, the average vagina owner, from being able to break through. There's a wall, right? So we have our wall of safe control. That's what I call it. And when you're experiencing pleasure, whether it's with yourself or partner or partners, you allow yourself to experience it to a certain level. And you build and build and build, and then you have your orgasmic patterning, and then you have your one safe orgasm, or maybe you have trained yourself to have three safe orgasms. But there's a wall in which you go up against that wall, and everything up to that wall is allowed. But once you hit that wall, you then change to dissipate the experience of sensory information and pleasure that you're receiving. So often we'll start thinking about things that are not sexy. Your body may be like, oh, this is really uncomfortable. You may get a cramp. There's all these different variables of which your subconscious will prevent you from being able to break through the wall and get on the other side of that. Because on the other side of that is surrender. And it feels very out of control. If you've ever really been with a multiply serially orgasmic being, they are out of control. They can't speak, they can't walk. All it is this writhing, screaming, orgasmic, pleasure-seeking being. And there is no, and in it, there's kicking, screaming, biting, throwing pillows. It's like this wild beast of an orgasmic being. And that's what lives on the other side of that wall, the wall of safe control. And the key in being able to get to the other side of that wall is to being, as you start to build close to that wall, is to realize, oh, wait, I'm safe. It's okay. I can surrender. I can let go. This partner is a safe person for me to get out of control with. I know that with myself, I'm safe in this moment to push beyond that comfort, push beyond that safety wall, the control wall, that it's okay and safe. And it might sound silly, like, well, why would I be afraid of not being, like, why would I think I wasn't safe? what, the ultimate is to go to that uncontrolled, wild, primal lust space. We crave it, we desire it, we want to be there. However, the average person doesn't feel safe in that realm because there's no control. There's no control over your body's reaction. There's no control over your facial expressions. There's no control. There's no control. The whole point is to not have control. And so, my question to you is, how well do you do out of control? Are you comfortable being out of control? Or are you like, I can be out of control and then I have to bring it back in? Or are you good with that? And so that's the question that you need to ask yourself. So that's what, me and Mistress Dana were talking about is like, well, what is the key? So that's the big piece there. The big piece is, can you surrender to get onto the other side of the wall? And once you're on the other side of the wall, do you have safe spaces and safe people that can help you navigate being on the other side of the wall? You may cry on the other side of the wall. You may get scared on the other side of that wall. As you're orgasming, you may feel, embarrassed about what happens. You may feel shame about what you explored or what you desired. All these feelings may happen on the other side of the wall, and it's important that you have someone or some people or a safe space to process that. So I want to share with you, there's the logistics that we talked about, is change your orgasmic pattern. And then there's like, I showed you, how I can have an orgasm from the same touch that a moment ago just felt nice. And now I'm like now having an orgasmic release from that. And that's all about mindset. Excuse me. And changing how and why. That touch is okay to have an orgasm, and why my knee can have an orgasm, and my elbow can have an orgasm, and my nose can ha tip of my nose can have an orgasm, and there's pretty much no part of my body that isn't orgasmic because I've spent my whole life training my whole body to be an orgasmic being, and that there's no right or wrong pleasure. There's only, is it appropriate for me to come right now? Which really is the thing. It's like, is this appropriate moment for me to allow myself to have an orgasm? So there's that component, your orgasmic patterning, and then there's this surrender and bringing you up to the wall and breaking through that wall and healing whatever needs to be healed. So I want to talk about the wall a little bit more. So I've pretty much my whole life been a pleasure seeker. Focus. All right. And, even as a child, I was a pleasure seeker. And, when I first found out about masturbation and figured that out, started rubbing myself up things and all, having all sorts of explorations, and there was no right, there was no wrong. And, I remember the time when, I found the vacuum cleaner, and then I had, an orgasm with the vacuum cleaner, and then I had my Then I got, my period that same day in church, and I thought God was punishing me for masturbation, so I had to clear that. But the whole point has been, my journey has always been about, oh, how can I make myself feel good? And in what capacity, anywhere from joy, laughter, orgasm, like I said, I'm like deeply wired to be this pleasure seeker. But even me, there's been times where I come up to the wall of like, okay, here's my comfort of like, I can have these many orgasms in this many ways. And then I come up to against the wall and I have to consciously and subconsciously in that moment be like, right, it's okay, it's safe. But coming up to those walls in the beginning was like, I've been really lucky. I've had some incredible Ivan had some incredible lovers over my life who were like, you're freaking out and that's okay. You're safe and we're going to keep going. And then knowing on, then holding me on the other side of that, of me crying and feeling unsafe and feeling, shame and feeling all the feelings of like why I had that wall up in the first place. And so in those moments, each time I had, I came up to a wall, my wall, and then I, with the help of a lover or myself, but most of the time, it was with particular lovers who were like, it's, it's okay. Let's see what's on the other side of this. Let's see how, what more your body can do. Let's see how many more orgasms you can have. Let's see. Let's, I've had some very adventurous lovers over my lifetime. And so their desire to be like, there's, let's see what more pleasure possibilities that we can explore together allowed me to push through that wall. And then them being okay with whatever happens on the other side, me crying, feeling shame, feeling bad, processing all the uncomfortable parts, and them just being holding me and just letting me cry and be like, it's okay. And, I still love you and you're still sexy and you're pretty wild and, wow, I didn't know you were that freaky. And yay, I love that you're that freaky. And all of those reassurance helped me to feel safe to then go to the next push up against the wall again. And so my sexual evolution has been, going to up to my wall and then pushing past my wall and going up to my wall and pushing past my wall, which allows me to basically, like I said, to orgasm at any given time, even from a thought, if I want to, if it's appropriate. The question is this appropriate moment to have an orgasm or not? The answer is yes, then go for it. But even when I have, so that's been my journey. Okay. I come up to my wall, push against my wall, have my feelings about it, and then love being on the other side of that wall for a while. But if I've been not exploring or haven't been having a lot of sex, what will happen is that my old default will kick in still. And you're like, what? How is that even possible? It does. It kicks in because it's like, oh, the subconscious is like, oh, we haven't been having sex for a while and we haven't been engaging sexually for a while. It must be for a reason. And so we go back to our, we can only have an orgasm up to this point. Because on the other side of that is surrender. And on the other side of that is like this I'm out of control, which is beautiful. And I love that. But I forget that I love that. Because of my trauma, because of my sexual abuse trauma as a child. So I go back. So when I'm coming up to the, I can feel it. I'm building, even when I'm masturbating, I'm building and building and building. And it's like coming, and yeah, I'm gonna, yeah. And then I have one orgasm, and then I'm okay, I'm gonna have maybe two orgasms. And then my body's like, oh, you're coming up against that wall, you gotta stop. And then my brain starts doing things, and my body starts doing things. And so then I'm like, oh, wait, it's safe to get to the other side. It's safe to break through that wall. I'm safe right now. And my partner's, wild. We're safe. It's all good. And I have to consciously remind myself, and then I can push past the wall. And sometimes I might, if it's been a while, I may have some crying release while I push past and while I'm screaming and, screaming and crying and biting and growling and throwing things. All good times. And so even I, as orgasmic as I am, come up against that wall. So I've talked a lot about orgasm and the wall and how does this apply, this, talking specifically, how does this apply for penis owners? So like vagina owners, vagina owners, we have an endless supply of orgasmic possibilities. And when we ejaculate, we have a female ejaculation. What happens is that we decrease our energy and our desires. However, and which is also what happens with penis owners. When you have an orgasm an orgasmic release with an ejaculation, your arousal levels drop because it's the ejaculation that brings, basically, if you think you're building all that energy and then it squirts out your cock with your cum, it squirts it up. And then you're like, plus, it's also an orgasmic patterning. That is the pattern that you've learned. So, in order to become multiply orgasmic, which is very possible for penis owners as well as vagina owners, and to be serially orgasmic, like bang, 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 you have to learn to master non-ejaculatory orgasms in order to be able to experience that. So it's doable, but it and it has we have the same concepts. First you have to learn to master your ejaculation of when you ejaculate and how you ejaculate and learn to separate your ejaculation from your orgasm. Then it's followed by changing your orgasmic patterning. Then it's followed by breaking through the wall, your wall of control, right? Because, but you have to learn to do the first step first before you can, get to that other those other steps, all right? So yeah, so there, that's how you do it. That's how, and I lovingly invite you to join, become a unicorn like me. And then maybe we could have a whole herd of unicorns together that are multiply and serially orgasmic in the world. Isn't that more beautiful? Besides, it's hard to be bitchy and grumpy when you're orgasmic. Mean, it's doable, but you have to work extra hard to be bitchy and grumpy when you're orgasmic. So, if you have any questions for any of my live followers right now, here's an opportunity. I'm ready to answer any questions. Okay, no, we don't see any questions. So, here's what I want to leave you with. Oh, and my next episode I'm going to record is going to be about how to be a partner to help somebody to be a multiply and serially orgasmic being, and what you need to do to support that. And so that's going to be my next episode. But in the meantime, for everybody who's like, well, first of all, I want to be that myself, go to, you can go to empressgaia.com, and in the online, there should be an online section of online education. Go there and it'll take you to Teachables, which is my platform right now that I use for all of my online programs, courses, mentorship. And in there is scroll down and you'll find 30 Days to Epic Orgasms. That program is basically in 30 days, you will help to change you all those things. And then if you run into any problems, you can reach out to me so I can help navigate. What we need to do to, there might be some deeper traumas and deeper stuff that might need some extra help with, but it teaches you how to change your patterning and how to change your mindset and how to, train your elbow to be orgasmic. And it teaches you all of those things. And you kind of each day you do a little piece, and the next day you do a little another little video, and you do another little piece. And in 30 days, your whole idea and belief system, and you're on your way to being the multiply serially orgasmic being that you desperately crave to be. And if you don't, you really want to be. All right. So yes, yeah, so go take that course. It's a game changer. All right. Until next time, as a remember, if you want to be able to engage with me and ask me questions, like if you're listening anywhere and you're like, oh my God, I don't understand what she's talking about here, and I wish I had asked, been able to ask her about that, or well, that seems really interesting. Can she go more into detail of that? Then come join my loyal fans page, and then you and become a fan, and then that way, you get a heads up. Not very fast in advance because it's more of like whenever I'm feeling and called to and inspired to record is when I do. So I usually get like anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes before I'm going to go live. But it gives you an opportunity to come and hang out with me and ask me those questions. Also, there's also it's lots of the naughty side of me. And you're like, ooh, I want to see that in action. Then Loyal Fans is a great place because all of my, my naughty adult content lives there. And then, as always, for all of your needs, go to GaiaMorissette.com, and it's kind of the gateway to all things that I do. So pick the venue, it's like pick your own ending story. You start with there, and you can find where you want to go. And until next time, I want you to stay curious and give yourself permission to say yes to more pleasure. And the more pleasure you have, the more orgasmic expression you can have. So, yay, pleasure, and yay, orgasms. Okay, bye-bye. Mwah. Well, I hope today's episode inspired you, encouraged you, and of course, made you feel tingly inside. Just want to take a moment to tell you how much I appreciate the time that you spend and how I really deeply appreciate you listening. I do it for you guys, the audience, and I love and adore you guys. So, quick loving reminder, I am not available for naked pictures, getting married, having sex, or having anybody's babies. And when you want to spend more time with me in a professional capacity as your coach, your teacher, your educator, your facilitator, you can reach me at GaiaMorissette.com. That's the gateway to all things Gaia. Now, if you're like, oh, I really wonder what's in the extended version. I also lovingly invite you to follow me on Instagram, which the handle is My Orgasmic Life Podcast, where you can leave feedback and comments. Also, come join me on Facebook at My Orgasmic Life Podcast Facebook group. And I really want to hear from you. I want to know how this show affected you. What did you learn? Was it inspirational? Did you agree? Do you disagree? I want to know because I'm a little bit of a voyeur. So I want to know how am I affecting you? So please, please, please come leave some comments. Now, if you're like, but I don't want everybody to know what I'm thinking, which is okay. Sometimes we need privacy and we need to be anonymous. So you would like that option? We have that. Okay, listeners, until next time, may your life be filled with sexy exploration and orgasmic pleasure. Mwah. Bye-bye.